want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the convenience store day, 7-Eleven, right here in beautiful Brevard County. Paul sitting here, and he's got one thing to say about 7-Eleven, and my mind is just going in a completely different direction there. So his is funnier. Anyway, welcome to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we want to thank you for tuning in today and pray that this lesson out of John chapter 7 will be a blessing to your life and to my life as we continue to go through this chapter here. I don't think we went through the entire chapter 7. I think we started back around verse number 16, but it's taken us a while to go through this. So before we get into that, let me say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281, where Dan and Treasure have and their team have been a huge blessing to us through the past year or so. We encountered them because we were having some work done at our house, and from there, now they're doing work for us at the church, and they're really, really good at what they do. They've got a great team. They are fast at what they do. You know, they have added a tank to our system to keep our building from getting rusty. They knew how to do that. They knew how to fix my replace my irrigation pump, and then the old pump had lost prime. I think they replaced the primer before they replaced the pump. I don't remember exactly how that went, but everything I needed them to do, they knew how to do it. They've installed timers that I can actually work, throw up my hands and praise the Lord. It's one thing to have a timer. It's an entirely different thing to be able to know what that timer is supposed to do. They have cut back some of the trees, branches that were growing in places we didn't want them to grow. Just have done a wonderful, wonderful job. They have two divisions. I deal primarily with the landscaping side of things. 321-208-2281. You may get David, I believe, is the one that's head over the lawn care division. But tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. They're really, really, really good at what they do. So whether it's paving stones or having to do with dirt, soil, and plants, they're good at it all. So 321-208-2281. Let's go to John chapter 7, verse number 41. Others said, "This is the Christ," but some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, 'No man ever spoke like this man.' Then the Pharisees answered them, 'Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed.' Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, 'Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?' They answered and said to him, 'Are you also from Galilee? Search and look out, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee.' And everyone went to his own house." So we see some of those questions again every time people begin to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. People begin to ask questions to sow seeds of doubt. And so this question is, will the Christ come out of Galilee? And then they quote their scriptural source and says, the scripture says he's coming out of Bethlehem. But they only recognize that Jesus has ministered in Galilee. And so there was a division among them because they didn't recognize how God could make both statements true, but he did. So there was a division among the people, and because of that division, there were some of them that wanted to take him. Some of them wanted to arrest him. Some of them wanted him to not have the ability to heal people anymore, deliver them from demonic possession and oppression, didn't want to him to touch kids, did not want him to teach the truth. They were wanting to bind him. They were wanting to isolate him. They wanted him out of the public eye. Now, I will tell you this, and that is that no matter how much light you shine on the truth is always the truth. So truth is never at fear of exposure. But there are people who operate from a paradigm that they don't have the purest of motives. They don't have godly desires or intentions. And because of that, they want to keep people from hearing things that would expose them. If you go to the book of Acts, you'll find that there was a person in this one town by the name of Simon the Sorcerer, and he was very influential. He kept the people mystified because of his magical arts, and the revival came to the town. Simon became a believer because everybody else in town became a believer. And then the disciples were sent there. Revival takes place, and all of a sudden, people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Simon says, I will pay you money to give me that ability so that I can lay my hands on people and they can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Peter began to inform Simon that his heart was not right, that he wasn't headed where he thought he was headed. He was headed for an eternity without Christ instead of an eternity with Christ. And, you know, what really, Simon was all about Simon. And Jesus is looking for people who he can minister through. So it's not about my ego, not about anyone else's ego, but it is about ministering to people who need to hear about Jesus. So, and it can't be bought. It is a gift. He said, you know, you're wrong to think that the gift of God can be bought with money. It cannot be. Gifts are gifts. And so they wanted to take him. They wanted to arrest him. A lot of Paul's ministry ran into this same problem, where people did not like what he was teaching, so they would arrest him, they would throw him in jail. One town they stoned him, and they drug him out of the town, they stoned him, they left him for dead, and after they were gone, he got up, walked right back into the city again. In Philippi, they had arrested him and Silas, beat them, threw them into jail. They began to praise God, an earthquake happened, the jail was broken wide open, and none of the prisoners left. There were people in Thessalonica that stirred up trouble for Paul. There were a lot of places that when Paul taught the truth, there were people that said, we need to shut you up. There were idolaters who in Ephesus who made idols to and Paul comes in, and all of a sudden the people who've made their living making these false gods said, guys, we're going to lose our entire way of life if we don't do something to shut him up. So there were people that wanted to arrest him. That was because they had been sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees. In verse number 45, it said, then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and the people who had sent them had this question: why have you not brought him? Why haven't you sidelined him? Why haven't you apprehended him and silenced him so that he isn't speaking in the public anymore? Can I just flip that thought for just a moment? And rather than making that statement from a position of arrest, I just want to ask us this. When we encounter people that do not know Jesus, let it never be said of us that we haven't brought Jesus with us. I don't just want to hear what he has to say. I want him to accompany me. I want him to accompany you wherever we go, because it's the Jesus living in us that does the miraculous. It's the Jesus in us that makes the supernatural possible. So we need to come to that place that when we show up, Jesus is there with us. Now, these people were not able to arrest Jesus, and I will tell you why. It was because his time had not yet come. It was getting closer, but it hadn't happened yet. So the law of timing in the kingdom of God is very, very important. And so we need to treat time as a precious commodity. So anytime I look around and I see that something is consuming more of my time than it ought to, I remove it from my life. Okay? Anything that is trying to worm its way in so that it derails the purposes that God has for my life, then I just cut it off. I get it out. And, it may not be bad. It can be completely amoral. What that means is neither immoral nor moral. It's just neutral. But whenever it starts eating away at the purpose that God has for you, then you say, nope, you got to go. The scripture says to remove the weight and the sin which so easily besets us. It's the weight and the sin. It can be both and. So the Pharisees said, why have you not brought him? Why did you fail in the mission that we sent you for? So Gamaliel in the book of Acts says, we don't want to find ourselves fighting against God, but that's not what the mindset of these people. See, they had an agenda. They wanted their agenda accomplished, and they did not care whether or not it was them fighting against God or not. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. I don't speak like Jesus. Your pastor doesn't speak like Jesus. Your mama and your daddy don't speak like Jesus. Only Jesus speaks like Jesus. But we have the ability to allow Jesus to speak through us to the best of our ability. And that's really what we should be accomplishing. So I think I told you on Friday's broadcast about a memorial service that I had done. And there was a lady that came up and said, Pastor, you have such an anointing upon you when you preach funerals and memorial services. She said, I don't really know how to explain it. You just have an anointing. And, I was like, well, I do like to be there for people in their most difficult time. But, I can assure you that when I was in Bible college, never one time did I give a thought to, wow, I want to be the best funeral preacher out there. That's just not anything I ever had in mind. But when she said that, I realized that when I was asked to come on the radio here back in 2013, the lady that called said, Pastor, I heard you speak a funeral. I heard you do a funeral. And I believe that you've got something to say that Brevard County needs to hear. So my goal here is to communicate in a down-to-earth manner the spiritual truths of God, because I don't live up in the upper echelons of intellectual society. I'm just a down-to-earth guy that Jesus called as a child, and through some crazy circumstances, ended up bringing me to Florida, and keeps opening doors for me. And every time he opens a door, I say yes, and I walk through it. These guys that were sent there with a mission to apprehend and silence Jesus instead allowed Jesus to speak into them, and they said, I would rather fail at man's mission for my life than deprive Jesus of speaking into my life. Okay? They end up getting called deceived. They got called deceived for believing the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let somebody else's agenda steal Jesus' voice from your life. And don't let somebody else's tag that they place on you, that you're deceived and all of that, don't let that tag stick. Instead, allow what Jesus calls you, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, allow that tag to stick. So the officers, when they said, or the leadership, the Pharisees said, are you also deceived? Okay. And then they asked this question, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? Now, this is a question that they are asking, kind of like in a court of law where there's a yes or no answer. And you know, from what I've been told, a good lawyer never asks a question in court that he doesn't already know the answer to. They asked this question of these people that were sent to arrest Jesus. And the question is, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? And they believe that the answer is a resounding no. But sometimes people can be wrong. Look at what verse number 50 said. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them. So the answer to the question was actually yes. They just didn't know that the answer was yes. So what do you think would have happened to Nicodemus, who was referred to as the teacher in Israel, if Nicodemus had said, yeah, I believe in him? They would have ridiculed him, because that declaration of faith does not align with the narrative that the Pharisees and the religious leadership had in mind. And so they began to ridicule and call them deceived, even though their eyes were being opened, because their ears were being opened. But the crowd does not know the law is accursed. So what they were saying is, these people that Jesus is speaking to, they don't know the law the way that we know the law, and so they are actually accursed. And that just fits in with the arrogance that Jesus mentions repeatedly about the Pharisees and the religious leadership. They always viewed themselves as superior to the common, ordinary, everyday person. Okay, so let me speak to the common, ordinary person. Jesus died for you, shed his blood to wipe away your sins, and wants to take up residence in your heart and give you the Holy Spirit so that the scriptures come alive and you get to experience the abundant life of blessings that God has to offer. Okay? That's my message to the common, ordinary, everyday person. Let me speak to the intellectual elite. Jesus died on the cross for you and shed his blood so that your sins could be forgiven and Jesus could take up residence in your heart and you could live filled with the Holy Spirit, the abundant, life-giving life that Jesus always wanted you to have, filled with the blessings of God in abundance. Okay, didn't use the exact same words in the exact same order, but here's the real gospel message, that no matter where you are in the social construct of our society, we all need Jesus. And you're not cursed for listening to Jesus. You're actually cursed when you refuse to live. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 3:17 says you're condemned already. And so Nicodemus does pipe up and says, wait a minute, we are off track. Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? Okay. Now, the intellectual answer to that question is no, that's not the way that the law operates. But that presumes that this agenda is actually based on law, on the law, when the pursuit of Jesus had everything to do with their loss of prestige and their loss of power. They felt threatened by the ministry of Jesus. I'm not threatened by the ministry of Jesus. I don't want to tolerate ministry without him. I want ministry to be life-giving, not life-sapping. So Nicodemus asked that question, and he thinks they're going to say, no, we don't do that. But again, the agenda was already set in stone. The pursuit was already hot and heavy. The only thing that they've got left now is to bribe Judas into betraying Jesus, and that will be coming a little bit later down the road. But they answered him, and so there's this heated discussion going on at this backdoor council. They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. So in 1 Kings chapter 9, Solomon rewards Hiram, the king of Tyre, with some 20 towns in Galilee. And he comes and looks at them, and he renames the region Kabul because he says these towns are good for nothing. And that mindset of Galilee, all of the disciples tended to come from that region. Has any good thing, has there ever been anything good that has come out of Galilee? Well, the Bible does say that that there is going to be light that comes out of Galilee. It's a tremendous thing. I just want to say this. Just because something has not happened yet does not mean that it cannot, will not, or is not going to happen. Jesus got into trouble because one day he healed a man that was blind. He had the inability to see, and he had never had the ability to see. And the religious leadership was all up in arms because he did it on the wrong day as far as they were concerned. Let the people come 6 days a week. Don't come to God on God's day to allow God to touch you and heal you. It's just faulty logic to the nth degree. But Jesus had a way of doing things that had never been done. Before that, there had never been anybody that was born of a virgin before. He accomplished that. He raised people from the dead. Okay? Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He says, I'll just need three for me. And so the religious leadership from, you know, roughly 2,000 years ago is of the mindset that if there's never been something that has happened at that point in time, there's no possibility, there's nothing good that could ever come out of it. Okay, some of you who are listening to me, you don't have that identity because of the region that you came from or the financial bracket that you came from, but because of the background that Jesus saved you from. And I want you to know that God wants to take the lid off of your potential and say, you know what, maybe I come from a town in the central part of the country, and there's lots of ministries that have started there. There's lots of ministries that have migrated there. But there really weren't much in the way of ministers that arisen out of my family. You know, some of my friends, their pastors, their kids are pastors, their parents were pastors, their grandparents were pastors, their great-grandparents were pastors. They have nothing but ministry in the background. My dad was a pipe fitter. He worked construction. But that doesn't mean that God couldn't raise me up. Merit Assembly of God had a reputation in our community. When we began to knock on doors and invite people to church, people began to tell us what our reputation was. And we had to embrace the Word of God and the promises of God and say, you know what? That may have been the reputation of the past, but you just keep watching, because I believe God's going to do something miraculous and wonderful in a place where other people don't see potential. Don't let other people's criticism deprive you from becoming the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that God knows He can make you into. So it was a heated meeting that day, and finally everybody said, that's it, we're done arguing, let's go home. And so I'm glad we're not here to argue today. I'm glad that we're here to dig into the Word of God, to find the life-giving truth that Jesus shared when He came, because He wanted not only them to have it, He wants us to have it as well. So with that being said, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to turn off the microphone. I'm going to get out of the chair, get in my car, and let everybody go and have a great day in Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Oh,